Blog Talk Radio.
Rastafari family, it's your sister here, Rebel Empress, and once again, you are tuned into Locked On Radio. This is Rebel 9 Aoife presenting Locked On Radio, giving thanks to our ancestors and the Most High for allowing us to be here at this moment in time. We have to give reverence always because we didn't get here ourselves. This is the Love Live on the Airwaves. And we have a great show in store for you tonight. For all our listeners who were trying to tune in last night, I deeply apologize. The gremlins were trying to get us on the technicalities, but as I said, I'm a persistent person, and we definitely had to make this show happen tonight. Tonight we have a live guest from a very, very, very far place. If you're listening here in the UK, you will appreciate the time zone difference. And we've got our guest ready in the wing, so I'm going to get on and call him soon. We're just going to do a few family big ups. We're bigging up my sister and Chisel Charles out there in Japan, living up in Tokyo. We're sending a shout out to Sila in La La Land right now, and we're sending a shout out to my mum, my bro, my pops, all the fam out there. Sister I, Trisha, my life expressionist coach, and we're sending a shout out to Isaac over in the Gambia. Sending a shout out to Natty and the Vibes and Pressure crew. We're sending a shout out, a big up to, I said Lioness, if you get it twice, and all our listeners all over the world. So right about now, we are going to get this popping, because you know I don't stall on a long thing. If you've taken the time to read our description for the show, we're going to be discussing a great book that I just ordered, and I encourage everybody who loves reading half as much as I do, get out there and pick this book up. You can order it on Amazon. It's called Chameleon Lover. That's my English accent. Some people might say chameleon, wherever they're from. And it's by Mr. Marcus Love, who is our guest of honor for today, and I will be calling him in 0.something seconds. And yes, once you see the book cover, you will know what I'm talking about and why I had to get this guest on our show live tonight, in my month, the month of Reuben, giving praises to our ancestors always. We pray they guide us through the show tonight, and it is a highly productive show for your listening pleasure. So I'm going to go ahead and call our guest, and fingers crossed, toes crossed, we get him soon, and you hear from yourself what the hype is about. Hi, Mr. Love.
Hey, Reverend Chris. What's up?
How are you doing?
I'm awesome. How about yourself?
We are great over here in the UK. And just so our listeners know, if you don't mind, would you let them know where you are and how you're doing over there?
Oh, I'm kind of bad. I know it's a big time difference. What is it, 11 hours? I'm over in Hawaii, Jordan warm.
Well, we're not mad at you.
I know, it's cold over there.
We are not mad at you in Hawaii. Don't feel bad for us, because we have your book to keep us warm on these cold, cold English nights. And
I heard that.
A lot of your US fans probably are already acquainted with you and your work. But for our UK listeners who kind of have to search a little bit harder to get real literature, we just want to get to know you tonight and get to know a little bit about Mr. Love, the inspiration behind this work of art. So let me know if you can hear us loud and clear. And
I hear you very loud.
Question prepared for you.
Got a good
question.
How's that?
Yeah, I started reading already, so I have some notes that I've taken down, and I'm going to shoot some of them at you, if you don't mind.
No, go right ahead.
So firstly, tell us when you first realized your passion for writing. Has it always been in you?
Yeah, I think maybe 10 or 11 years old growing up. Yeah, I used to keep a little diary. Just kept it to myself. When my dad drove us from Jersey to California, it was a big, big change, man. I started writing down everything, just a little diary. I was really, really shocked. Yeah. Pardon?
Was it a release for you?
As I got older, yeah. It was maybe when I got into my late teens, early 20s. It was more into poetry, short stories, reading people that I liked to read, books. Sam Greeley, the one who wrote this book and Sat Next to the Door. Loved that book. My mom gave it to me. It was the first book I actually read.
She ignited this passion, this burning flame. She ignited it within you.
I don't know. Probably. It was a whole bunch of people. But, yeah, my mom was an inspiration. Yeah. But it's her, something her and I talked about. We like books and everything. So, yeah, it was really cool.
Because that's quite a revolutionary book to give a child. I mean, she could have given you.
Yeah, it was like 15, 16, maybe 17. I can't remember the exact age. And she saw me being bored. She said, "What do you want to read this?" You know. And I said, "Yeah." And I read it. I was like blown away. I still have it. Little paperback. Still have it. It was later made into like a movie, but.
Yeah, I heard the movie doesn't really do the book that much justice. Is it true?
No, actually. Well, you know, that's like with any book. The movie's never going to be exactly as good as the as a novel. But in this case, I would say it's about equal. I did see the movie. You can catch it on YouTube. But I suggest people just buy it from the man. The man is awesome. It's the only movie he made, and very inspirational. So it's, yeah, but it was a good inspiration for me. That among other authors. I really liked it. I like the twists and turns, and it kept my creative juices flowing at a young age.
So who are some of the other authors that inspired you?
Oh, man, like Walter Mosley, Eric Drum
Diggie.
Yeah,
I like his man.
I'm telling you,
he's
man.
He's so visual, like yourself. He really paints a clear picture with his words, and I think
No doubt.
Very visual in his scenes, just like you are. So I can see that actually in your work. Yeah. Who else?
Action books. I like James Patterson. His Alex Cross series. I think a lot of people like that. And
Alex Cross was good.
Yeah. He's that series has gone off the song. That's awesome. Yeah. He's very fast paced, and I'm never bored with his books. So I actually like his also. And I think for erotica, I like Zane. Zane is awesome. I'm telling you, man. She has an imagination. I love her stuff. Say what?
Okay, ladies, if you're listening, Zane is one to check out as well. So when you're done with Mr. Marcus' love collection, because there are many more books other than To Me and Lover, but we decided to honor your first book tonight because it's been in print for over a decade, which is a great achievement as a black author, and I commend you for that. And I just wanted to ask you, what were some of the challenges that you faced early on trying to get, manifest this into a reality?
Well, it started, like I said, it was published 2004, but I really started writing it maybe 2-3 years earlier, and I was going through a rough time. I was separated, going through a divorce, and it really took its toll on me. It was therapeutic, putting all that stuff together. And when people were just asking me, is it based on fact? It is fiction. I'm not going to get myself in trouble. It's not based on anybody for real. It's fiction. But I definitely got inspiration from going through all those hard times. And it did take a long time to actually craft it. It really did. The first one is, how can I say, it's like you ladies having a baby. You know, they say the first baby is a tough one. I hope it's not a bad analogy, because I don't want to disrespect the ladies, but
no,
that's the best analogy I can come up with. It's like having the first baby. Yeah, and the first one's always a tough one. After that, it's a breeze. So it took a while, a couple of years, getting the right theme, getting the right getting the process in, not wanting to sound like anyone else. I had to get my own voice. So I read a lot of books that I like the authors I mentioned to you. I also read a lot of books I didn't like. But I'm not going to sit there and put anybody on blast and let it be disrespectful.
But just so you know what not to do.
Yeah. It kind of said, ooh, you know, it just kind of, I wanted my own style. So it took a while. And when I finally got the first one out, it was a good feeling. It's like having that baby. It's my favorite one.
Really? Oh, no, don't say that, because now all the firstborn children think they're their favorite. But what I was going to say is, you know, when we put together things as black people, like, the care and presentation that you've taken into putting this piece of art together is amazing, down to the cover, that immediately draws you to the book. So,
I can't take all credit for that cover, though, Rebel Empress. I did a sketch of it, but the guy, his name is Kenny Beavers. And his company's a Bad Enough Art. He's on Facebook.
Okay.
Kenny Beavers is the common spelling. He's on Facebook. The brother is a phenomenal artist. He designed that cover for me. And he deserves all the credit for that. The guy's a mad genius. So, you know, send some love and business his way. Kenny Beavers, he's on Facebook, yes. Most definitely.
And also, I see here that you have the Black World Press logo, so that's also something personal in terms of your own, something that you own, because we have to keep ownership of our work, right?
No doubt, man. I'm a control freak, so from day one, I didn't want to go through all the hassle of being rejected from a more contemporary publisher, so I just went out on my own, and I started that December of 2003, prior to the book coming out in 2004. So yeah,
wow.
It's going to be branched off. It's going to be branched off into Broken Ashy Productions, film production, because I'm going to take this first book and branch off into film, and I'll just kind of put that out there. I want to keep it independent directors. The whole crew. I really want to make it organic, you know,
so
grassroots
effort.
So you're
reaching out to independent.
Yeah, the book's based in L.A. In Leimert Park, where I got a lot of inspiration from all the poets, the singers, performers, awesome people down there. And I would like to shoot it there. I really would. So, you know, it's a process, and I'm just praying everything works out well. But oh yeah. Most definitely,
well,
that's my logo.
Extras.
Pardon?
I said,
extras?
If you need any extras, you know.
Oh, with you? Oh, no doubt. Oh, yeah. I got a good part.
Yeah,
I'll talk to you about it off air. I'll talk to you off the air about that part I want you to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, of course, you got in the book. You have to read. You have to read the book, and then I'll tell you what part you can play.
I'll take anything. I'll take the shopping.
But this is the family show, right? This is a family show, so we don't want to get too explicit, right?
G-rated show, even though the book might not exactly be G-rated. But just drawing on what you said about poets and drawing some influence from the poets out there in LA, one of the first things I noticed when I opened up the book, because I'm an avid spoken word lover, is that you
cool.
I don't want to give too much away to the readers, but you did have this beautiful poem in the beginning, and I particularly like this bit here, if I could just find it real quick, because I've actually read quite a bit. You'd be amazed how fast I read when I'm really enjoying something. And,
cool.
Stars come down and clear the way. Mountains move and children say, who can say when looking above they found the source of love? I really feel like that added another dimension to the main character who we'll get into in a little while. His name is Don, I think. Donald, right?
Donald Justice. Detective Donald Justice.
Right.
He's a vice cop.
Right.
Yes, he wrote that during his wedding night. During his wedding vows when he got married. That's the one he read to the bride.
What I love about the book is that it boom blasts all the stereotypes about black people, you know, about our
mm-hmm.
family situations and our employment situations. Because he's like a regular guy that has to do some Superman stuff. And I like the way you use humor in your language to really interweave some of the more hard-hitting social issues that we're faced with on a regular, and without it feeling like it's just in your face, like, okay, this is another one of them books. I think you've done it a bit more cleverly by slipping it in there so the reader don't even know that they're, you know, they're actually challenging these issues themselves by reading this. So how you did that was quite smart.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna
I left it kind of raw. I did do it raw like that. I did it intentionally because it's like you. I didn't want it predictable, and the last thing I do was bore readers. I could make you pissed, man, happy, you know, excited, but the last thing I want is to bore a reader because I'm a reader myself. So thank you for the compliment. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I think this is, I know this is why it definitely has to hit the screen, because if you can portray such a political message, like I put down it, that it's a revolutionary work of art, which I feel it is. And if you could write this over 10 years ago and it still be as relevant today as it was then it could definitely be very powerful on the screen, and people would, you know, get a chance to see those issues more in their face. So we're going to talk more about Don in a little while because he's very interesting and I'd love to know your inspiration. I'm just going to run one tune for our listeners and we'll be right back with Mr. Love. You stay on the line, yeah?
Oh, yeah, babe. I'll be right here.
All right.
The way you are makes me feel so good. Ooh. Tell me what your name is. Damn, you should be famous. And I can barely take it. Could this be what fate is? 'Cause I've seen
week, and she is our hostess with the mostest for this evening. As you know, it is Wednesday, Saturday, so all my raving crew, remember, be safe wherever you are. If you're listening to this one in your car, enjoying the ride, we're here with Mr. Marcus Love on Love on the Airwaves. This is Locked on Radio, your girl Rebel Empress, and we are talking about the hip-selling Chameleon Lover, which I'm just getting into, so I might be on a hiatus for a while. And I wanted to talk more about John and what the inspiration was for his character. Obviously, he's in love with many women at the same time, and he ultimately is faced with a choice. And that is a very real issue and a very brave issue for a man to expose. I think for a man to bring that conversation to the table is very honest. And yeah, I'd just like you to share with our listeners a little bit more about what prompted you to invent Don, and a bit more about him that we might not really, if we could try to understand him a little bit more.
Yeah, I like how you said that. We're going to try to understand Donald Justice. just like you said in the beginning before the break, he's to every brother that we all know. Just a regular working man. He's been living kind of, you know, in the underbelly. He, the guys are law enforcement, but you see, the guy's dirty. You know, basically, Carlos have escort business with his partner, Cornelius Young. And they did get to the point where, you know, they both married, they both have kids, and he gets to the point where he wants to get out of the life. The guy has a love for poetry, the music, spoken words. He wants to get out without, you know, getting in trouble, jail, getting killed. And while this is going on, you just have to see that he has a love for him. He really does. Okay, so I'm just going to have it on.
It's not just love.
Yeah, because some of them are. And I don't want to give it away, but the readers are going to have to determine themselves about who he loves. Because he has a passion for all of them. He has to come to this. It's art, it's women, it's family. He has to juggle all that. It's the men out there will kind of really, because when I look to a man's perspective, I really think about how we talk amongst ourselves. And we really can't compartmentalize all that stuff. We could number one, be with another, maintain family, be on our grind, on our business, whatever. We can argue. And he must come to the street. That's what living. It's what works. It's music. It's not. He wants to settle down with one woman.
Yeah, that's what we get.
It's not
easy.
It's not easy. It's not. I'm not going to speak up. He does some shit. He really does.
So, would you say that's a realistic goal for most men, that they ultimately?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Because I find that the more interesting a man is, naturally the women will gravitate to him. So it's not necessarily the way we might stereotypically put it and say men just can't, you know, control themselves. Because a lot of the time, women initiate the interaction.
That's right. I'm glad you said that. Well, yeah. A lot of the time, just men say the biggest player on the block and the first to say that. First of all, I'm not a relationship expert, so I'm not going to come off like I am. I'm just going off my personal experiences and people that I know personally. All women give us the green light to step up, to push up on approach, whether it's a glance, a smile, something. And if the brother's too busy to pick up on it, then that's his fault. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't matter how fly, how much you think you got yourself together. If the woman's not going to give you access, you know, the opportunity to come up to her, then it's on you. You know, by the same token, like the character in the book, Donald Justice, he spoke with those same issues. He's in his mid-30s, pushing 40, and he just really wants to settle down. He wants to get his collective stuff together. And his partner's kind of giving him, you know, some resistance. He wants to hold on to what they have. They got a little empire, you know. He's dirty, right? After escort service. And he doesn't want to let go of that because that's his boy. They're like riders for life. You know, they've been through Afghanistan together. They're cops together. Their kids go to the park and go to, you know, have parties together. So this is his boy. So he's running interference for him. So
is it a case where maybe Don has found himself in that he's realized his talent in the form of music, and maybe Cornelius hasn't discovered his path yet?
Well, I'm not going to give it away. I mean, he's like I said, they're like real tight. They're boys full of life. So he has respect. He has mad respect for his partner, but he doesn't want to see the business break up. And so I'm not going to give it all away.
They've become accustomed to a lifestyle. Is that it?
Oh, yeah.
They've
become accustomed to it. And like I said, when I was writing this book, it's based on experiences people I know, and I try to keep it as raw as possible. I didn't want to sugarcoat anything. I didn't want to make
it. And it's
it,
very accurate.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
There's a lot of
technical accuracy.
You guys can
relate to it out there, too.
Especially in the fact that he's with the police force. So there's a lot of code language and stuff like that that's in the book that's very accurate. So I guess you had to do your research on that as well. And
I'm in my research.
Make sure that was right.
Yeah.
Was that interesting?
I used to do it for a living, so I got hands on research. I don't do that life anymore. Like full time. But I have to do my research. They have to be more technically accurate. The last thing I want is and someone who goes to law enforcement.
Especially for your first book, people are quite critical on your debut.
Oh my God! I mean, to anyone who's listening, who wants to do what I'm doing, you got to be ready for it. It's like any other game. It's like the game of love. You got to be ready to take an L, to take a loss. And then if you're willing to play it, you got to be able to take all the negative criticism. You just have to have a thick skin. I don't write for everybody. I remember when I first came out with it, I said, I write for my people, black people. I do. If someone else happens to like it, then cool, you know, great. But I'm very focused, and I write what I know, and I write for us, basically. And I don't want to come off wrong with that, but that's who I write for.
Well, I guess
awful.
That's why you're always successful, because, you know, you're writing the truth, and the truth always stands the test of time, and it is the truth for a lot of people out there, which is why they can relate to it. I know you said that it was very popular in jail, and I know that most brothers are in jail.
They like to share the book, though. They have family members buy the book for them, right, Rabbi Empress? They were buy one or two books and pass that mug around, and they come up and say, "You know what? It was solid. I liked the book. It was on point." And I say, "Well, maybe they show me the book. It's all bent back. And they're sharing it. It's cool. That's all it is. It is what it is. You know.
Yeah, at least they read
it. I'm glad it got out there. I'm glad that they all felt it. You know, that they was all, you know, saying it was shit. Excuse my life. They said it was good. They liked it. So happy. But that's something I learned, you know. They were just passing that mug around, like, okay, so, you know. But it's good though. It was fun. It's fun getting out there. I just wanna, like I said before, just keep pushing it. I wanna turn it into a film, and like I said, definitely get a part for you. Most definitely.
Definitely. So is there a prequel? I'm sure that there's a part two to Chameleon Lover. What's the title?
Yeah. Oh, When Love Calls. When Love Calls. That's a prequel too. Yeah, because it was one of the characters, one of the four women that he was involved with in Chameleon Lover. Monique Anderson, a young single mom. She's going through a real bad divorce. She had an abusive husband. That was one of the love pictures. Kind of went back and focused on that one. It was called When Love Calls. So.
When Love Calls. Okay.
It was a software approach. Pardon?
So you can have a whole series then, really and truly, with the amount of work that you put in already.
I didn't really think about a series. I didn't want to. I mean, I thought about it, but I haven't ruled it out. But I really haven't thought about making a whole series out of it. It depends on what the readers want. Maybe. It just maybe in the future. I haven't really thought about making a time series out of it. I did have fun writing it. The characters were like alive in my head. I really had a good time. To this day, this is my favorite.
And I have been reading some of the Broken Ashes, reading bits online on your Facebook. So would you let the listeners know your Facebook link so they can get on there?
It's the Marcus Love Experience.
The Marcus Love Experience.
Yes, it's the Broken Ashes series. It's an urban e-series for all people. I'm still working on the fourth one. Nobody's Stretch. I really have writer's block. I don't have any support. I really don't.
Maybe your writing is on hold while you put this into production for the big screen. So who knows?
I'm kind of overwhelmed. I'm trying to do too much at one time. But I'm definitely going to finish it because it's bugging me. I got the notes there. I got the outline. My halfway done. And I want to put a good product. I don't want to make it rush and disappoint readers and say, what the hell is putting out here? I want them happy with it. So.
You're a perfectionist.
Perfectionist, control freak, stuff.
There's nothing wrong with it. Because if you weren't, you wouldn't have been able to produce such a great quality piece of work. And Rebel Empress, Locked On Radio, we're all about entrepreneurship. We're always about focusing on people that do themselves, you know. We're coming from a great line of people who have done a lot, and we can carry on that legacy with the work that we do. And that's why we got to big you up here on the show today, because it's really done to a great standard. And for the young people that are listening as well, like, they have something to be encouraged about. They can have a dream and they can make it come true and really physically hold their dream. So, once again, if you could just give our listeners more information on where they can get the books and how they can get in touch with you to get more books and more information on your future work.
No problem. They can go to Amazon. Pardon?
They can go to Amazon.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. All the books are located on Amazon. And in the future, I'm still working on the website for the production of Broken Ashy. I'm have it so they can get better deals there for like a cheaper price. So I'm still working with a web designer to make it more user friendly. They can buy direct and they can get their books quicker. Because I know Amazon takes a while to get to certain different countries.
So we're gonna give you a few bounces.
Well, yeah, I feel for you guys. Like different countries, it takes a while to get folks there.
But it's worth the wait. Just like it took a while to get you on the show, I'm sure the listeners realize it was so worth the wait.
Great
cool.
Things
come to
Thank
those
you.
Who wait. Yeah. So
thanks for inviting me.
It was a pleasure to have you. We're going to have you again because there's so much more work that you've done.
Okay.
So we'll schedule time to have you again. But for now, one love, Mr. Love. Thanks for being great. And, say goodbye to the
listeners. Call me Marcus. Call me Marcus.
Marcus. So that's Marcus Love.
Okay.
But, you know, you have a great name, and it really does shine through your work.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're out, listeners. thank you.
I subscribe to it. I'm still listening to it, so, yeah.
Do that, especially wherever you are out there in the U.S., you know, if we can stay up till this late, you know you can rock with us, so.
I'm walking with you now, babe, yeah. I love the music you have on, too, so, yeah. Okay.
We're going to have Marcus on again. You brought some Hawaiian sunshine to the show tonight. And we're going to have our hostess with the Moses, the lovely Tweet, sing us out with this one because she is Southern Hummingbird. Until next time, more fire.